This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spy.
Hey. Hey, that ain't the only Young Zell we gotta play today.
Hey.
Sacramento Kings get another dub. Shout out our boy Mark Jones.
Wait a minute!
Win on the low, that's a Sacktown thing. Talking about us, it's a bounce out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us, then ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look towards the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now. Tell them like the beam now.
All right, we get the chorus. It's a one verse day.
I know what that boy did.
It's a one verse day.
I know what that boy did last night.
It's a one verse day. We welcome you in here to the Tuesday, February 11th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The absolute worst. And we are so happy that you are here with us. It's a busy Tuesday, as it always is. Our man Jason Jones coming up in the final hour of the show. Trista Crick, who's going to be in California this week. She'll be with us coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll try to pin down her plans. I'm trying to get her to come up here to Sacramento and spend some time with us.
Good luck.
Kings win an absolutely insane basketball game last night. 129-128. 28 lead changes, 17 ties. And the only number that Doug Christie cared about last night, 21 turnovers for the Sacramento Kings. 21 turnovers that I think led to 36 points. Was that the number? That doesn't even seem real, but it absolutely is.
All right.
21 turnovers led to 36 points, but somehow DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk helped the Sacramento Kings grab their second straight victory, one that they had to have in a very hostile, emotional American Airlines arena. We'll talk about the different things that went on there yesterday, but man, what a What a basketball game that was last night. It's a lot easier to enjoy when the Sacramento Kings come away with a victory.
Nah, man, that was a big-time win last night. That was a big-time win. I know it didn't look the way we want it to look. It didn't go the way we wanted it to go as far as, like, we want these pretty wins and all this other stuff. There's a lot of things they got to work on. There's a lot of things they got to get better at. But the name of the game, and we're getting into that territory right now. There comes a time, it usually starts around March. There comes a time when it's just about wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, are you preparing yourself for, you know,
bro, we're there.
We're
there.
It's
now.
Just about wins and losses. Yeah. And last night, regardless of what it looked like, do I want all the turnovers? Absolutely not. I don't want the turnovers. I don't want none of that. But DeMar DeRozan said on two occasions, I think people forget this because of the game winner, but on two occasions,
mm-hmm.
he said, we're not leaving Dallas with a loss tonight.
Yeah.
He tied the game in regulation. And then after his mishap, that was a tough one to see.
Yeah.
After his mishap, he came right back and got them the win. Yeah, man. I was elated last night. Elated to get that W. You got one out the way. You need two more for what we asked for going into the break. And all that is still attainable right now, man. I was hyped.
I wasn't elated, but I sure was relieved. Mm. That was a weird game. We always do this, like, when did you think the Kings, did you ever think they were going to win? Did you ever think that they were going to lose? At no point did I think the Kings were winning that game. Not until, even when DeMar hit that step through, I was like, wait, how much time is left? What's going on here? I actually, last night was one of the worst that I felt about this Kings team since Doug Christie took over.
Really?
I'll explain that later. I'll explain, and I have to explain it, because there's receipts out there with our 2 o'clock guests, so I got to make sure that I keep it a stack as we get to talk to Trista Crick at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. But 42 points from DeMar DeRozan, and as you said, a game extender and a game winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he got free on that last shot in overtime. I don't know how DeMar repeatedly shoots these shots that have like a degree of difficulty of like 8.5 and above and makes them. Like, all of his shots look contested. They all look well guarded and defended, and they look like they're no problem for the Compton native.
This
none crazy. At all.
It's crazy. It's crazy to see his shot making ability, especially in that mid range area, is second to none.
Automatic.
You know, he's fearless with the shot that he's going to take. If the guy's right on his hip, or right in his pocket, he'll still take the shot. He'll rise over him. If somebody's going to make contact, he'll still follow through with the shot, knock it down. And that final play, I mean, I'm not even saying they're wrong. Like, I get it now. Like, it's all good. But I guess they just changed the rules of basketball. Coming up, that was always a travel. Always a travel. Now they play. You know who gets credit for that? You know who gets credit for that? The women's game. The women's game used to do that where they're on a jump stop or they pivot or whatever, and they do all this and they take the step through and they let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's a travel. But I guess they just let it go. And then I saw a video one time where Carmelo was working on it, and they had this long discussion. During the video, it was like a minute and a half. But him and his trainer were having this long discussion whether or not that's a travel. And Melo was like, that's a travel, right? He's like, well, it is the 1-2 and da 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 da. And it seems like in the last 2 years, it's universally accepted as not a travel. Now, this is what you do. I'm just going with it. DeMar knew the rules. He knew what it was. And he made a brilliant move to step through on that double team and
just
then the floater.
Walked between two defenders.
With the little floater, nothing but net. I love it.
Walked right between them. It's like, I got it.
Yeah. Lost on that as well, on that final play. I got to give a shout out to Zach LaVine. Because Zach LaVine, understanding the situation, understanding what was going on, maybe it wouldn't have mattered. I don't know, but you can't take anything for granted. Zach LaVine realized there was no timeouts. They had to get the ball in. If you watch the play again, he sprints to Kyrie Irving after DeMar DeRozan makes that shot. He's probably at about the 35-foot mark, finds Kyrie, who's kind of on the baseline, sprints to Kyrie to make sure he don't get the ball in that situation, or he doesn't leak out or anything else like that. It had to go to Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie makes whatever decision he decides to make.
I don't even know what happened on that final play. Did he charge?
Offensive foul. Yeah, offensive foul on Malik. And that was a little risky, too. I would get away from him.
Right.
Get away from him, but it ended up working out. But
the Kyrie layup and the Klay Thompson would probably were like, just do something, because what we did the last two times didn't work, so try something else.
That's true, too, man. But I noticed that not the first time, but watching it a couple times, Zach LaVine sprinting. Just little awareness stuff, man. Like, you don't get caught up in the celebration. You got to finish the job. Realizing they didn't have a timeout and they were going to inbound it quick. Great job by everybody involved on that final play.
Yeah, in a hell of a job by the Sacramento Kings, DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk, specifically, to make sure that the Sacramento Kings walked out of Dallas with a victory. That was a game that was, again, 28 lead changes in this game, 17 ties. And, you know, we talked about the turnovers, and Doug Christie talked about the turnovers. Doug Christie praised his guys for about 11 seconds and then mentioned, you know, we're taking steps, but we're not there yet. DeMar, 42 points, season high, 42 points for DeMar DeRozan last night on 15 of 22 shooting.
Mm.
And a very rare 4 of 6 from three.
Mm.
He was on point. The fourth quarter really stands out, obviously, because that's money time. But it felt like he was hitting shots at ease in the first quarter, too.
He was cooking.
He had a night. We'll just put it like that. We break it down by quarter all we want to. He had a night.
Yeah.
5 for 5 in the second quarter. Didn't miss a shot. 14 points in that quarter. 19 in the first half. No, it was more than that. It was 21 in the first half. Just an amazing job by DeMar DeRozan there. And we saw another solid performance from that second unit.
Mm-hmm.
This time led by Jonas Valanciunas. We saw 32 minutes from Keon Ellis in this one. 17 minutes from Valanciunas. Like, you're seeing the rotation right now with Laravia out there, Trey Lyles out there, and it looks like Jonas and Keon are kind of going to be the anchors of this thing. What role Jonas Valanciunas plays will probably vary on a night-to-night basis, as Doug admitted last night. The big lineup that we'll talk about here throughout the day was something that they looked at, mm-hmm. something that they talked about, and, you know, he said in the press conference it wasn't working. No. We were not the lineup. He was like, what we were doing wasn't working.
Yeah.
So we had to try something else. We had looked at it. We had talked about it. So we put it out there to see what it would look like in execution.
And go ahead. My bad.
No, that was it. You good?
No, and I love what he said in post game about that big lineup. He mentioned he was going to try it. He wanted to see what it looked like. And he didn't want to overreact to if they made a bucket once or twice. He wanted to give it an opportunity to see if it would work. And I thought that's exactly what he did. I think that's the right approach. Like, you got to give something time. You got to trust it a little bit to see what may come of it. If they make a bucket, or if you get beat on a defensive rotation, or they got a mismatch, man, give it 5 minutes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I would even say to a certain degree, regardless of what happened yesterday, give it 2-3 games to see if they can figure some things out. And him saying that, I loved hearing him say that, saying I wasn't going to overreact to whatever the result was early. Yep. I wanted to see this thing through. And that was a great call by him, man.
Let's talk more about that lineup, because that was certainly the talk of the game amongst Kings fans. And you mentioned Zach LaVine. I'm struggling a little bit with Zach LaVine. I kind of thought we'd have a moment from him by now, and we haven't. Not to say he's played bad, just say I've been waiting for something that hasn't really happened yet. And I'll confess what I told Trista Crick yesterday when she checked in with us. So that's all ahead here. We're thrilled that you're here with us. Sacramento Kings get a victory. Did they create some space in the standings? No, they didn't at all, because the new Jimmy Butler-led Golden State Warriors got another victory as well. So we'll talk all about that. Stilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We'll open up the phone lines for you as well. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. If you want to get in here, you want to talk about your Sacramento Kings getting a victory last night. Let's talk more about that lineup we saw last night with Domantas Sabonis and Jonas Valanciunas. I remember when that Valanciunas trade became official, you know, the idea of the big fella being Domas's backup, or the bigger fella, I guess, being Domas's backup, was really, you know, that was kind of like the focal point. And I remember James bringing up, like, you know, they could play on the floor together. I don't know what that would look like, because you're pulling Domas away from the basket, and you're keeping Valanciunas down there, and we saw a little bit of that last night. And our man who's been rocking with us all morning, Mark Jones, was quick to point out, like, you see him as a distributor out there. He's a distributor on the floor. Like, he's stretching. Maybe he's not a threat to shoot the three, but he's seeing everything that's happening on the court before it's happening, and he's getting guys the ball. I actually love that lineup. Maybe it was the perfect matchup against Dallas. Maybe it was just the perfect execution with that group out there. Maybe that's not like the long-term function of that lineup, but I really did like it. Maybe there are teams that wouldn't think Domas is a threat from certain spots on the floor, but the way he's able to kind of be at that, there's a couple of plays that are standing out in the top of my head, but the way he's able to be at that, he was like at the kind of the free throw line extended elbow area, just kind of, you know, surveying the thing, that kind of ball in one hand, just like motion it going into different spots. Boom, he finds a cutting. I don't remember if it was Malik Damar who it was, but I was like, oh, okay. Get Jonas on the other side? All right. I see it.
Yeah, no, you can absolutely. And I wasn't sure of it either, you know, what it would look like if they played out there at the same time. But seeing it in action, yeah, you could definitely get it done. You could definitely have those two out there for a certain amount of time. You know what I mean? I don't think it's something that, and I'm not saying anybody is saying this, but I don't think this is something you want to live with for 30 minutes in a night. But for a quick, you know, change up, if you have the advantage in the paint like they did last night and being able to take advantage of that, yeah, I think it could work, because not only do you have Domas's passing ability and his ability to see the floor, but I think they're both high IQ players.
Yeah.
Like, they both understand the game well enough where, you know, they'll find ways to be effective offensively, even if it's not traditionally like Domas spreading the floor or something like that. They'll work the high-low game. You know, all you really got to do in that situation, to a certain degree, with the way Domas shoots the ball now, just from mid-range, not just the three-point line, but just get Domas at the top of the key 16 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, don't you know, if you want to sit in Valanciunas' lap, he'll hit that all day.
Mm-hmm.
Sabonis will hit that all day.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come out there and you want to have Valanciunas one-on-one and dump it down to him, he's going to work. We talk about Sabonis being an ox. That's a big ox right there.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have him one-on-one 2 feet away from the basket. He'll win that battle more times than not. So the one concern that I had was defensively, and I don't know. They kind of figured it out last night, and I think against certain lineups they will be able to figure it out because of the high IQ capabilities that both of them possess.
17 minutes for Valanciunas last night, 13 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 fouls.
Well, use them up, big guy.
Valanciunas was standing next to the rim on one. I think the fourth quarter, Max Christie tries driving in. Poor kid tries to jump into Valanciunas and just hits the deck. Valanciunas doesn't move at all. Ball gets loose. I think the Mavs hit a three right after, but that Max Christie looked like he hit a wall right there.
Did you see that man is a wall.
Did you see the Klay Thompson quote?
About Max Christie?
Yeah. He said, thought it was Doug's kid.
He said it all matched up.
That's a... I mean, okay, I guess it does, but I don't know. That's funny.
Yeah, it I mean,
very funny.
On its surface, like, if would you be surprised if that was Doug Christie's son? 6'6".
Well, I would. Well, yes, I would. But, yeah, no, sure. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. I just thought that was funny. I thought that was
and
funny.
He really didn't know. He really thought, at least I'm buying it, he really thought that was Doug Christie's son for a while.
And the fact that it came from Klay actually made it better, because that's like the most Klay Thompson.
Well, he was being sincere about it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like, that's such a great Klay Thompson. Oh, yeah, I thought Max was Doug's kid. Just kept asking him, how's your dad? How's he doing? How's he like it out there? Max was confused, but here we are.
That was funny. That was funny.
But yeah,
I like that lineup. I like JV.
Yeah.
I like JV a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Come
too.
Come on, man. JV, I didn't know how much, you know, I would like this guy. And so I saw him in the Kings uniform with this squad. I think, you know, he's always been good. He's always done what he does. But I think him and Domas are probably a little energized by playing on the same team together. You know, Domas said he'd known him his whole life. You know, and they've got a relationship, a rapport, playing on the national team. They got to feel good about, you know, playing on the same squad, man. And I love seeing him out there, man. I do.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that, see what it looks like versus the Pelicans. I don't think they ran. I think last night was the first night. They didn't run that lineup the other day.
No, I don't remember
it. Yeah, I don't think they did. I think last time was the first time that they did it, which is obviously why it got so much attention. But Valanciunas was ready to play the Pelicans. the other night. So I'd like to see a little bit more of this. We got the Jake LaRavia hysteria follow up yesterday. A little bit more quieter than he was a couple of nights ago. And again, you talk about the second unit. Another big story with that, you know, Valanciunas and Domas on the floor together. You know, they kind of take the headline. 32 minutes for Keon Ellis. Mm. Mm. And Doug's finding ways to keep him on the floor.
Yeah. And the one of the things that I'm going to be interested in seeing, and I don't think it's been a problem so far, just I want to just monitor it, is guys understanding and accepting, like, we're all about winning, whatever that calls for. We saw on Saturday, DeRozan had to come out for a little bit late into the fourth quarter. Yesterday, it was Zach LaVine. It wasn't as late in the game, but it was like halfway through the fourth quarter. Malik Monk comes back in. He comes in for Zach LaVine. And, you know, I think just kind of watching, you know, Doug meets him as he's walking off the court and taps him on the chest and maybe explains, like, yo, you understand, like, we're good. Zach says, no, we're good. It's good. Don't even trip. Mm-hmm. And that mentality, that mindset is what's going to be needed for this team to climb out of where they're at, because there are going to be opportunities in situations where Keon may be best to be in that game late. Mm-hmm. Maybe going with the two bigs may be best late. Mm-hmm. And one guy's going to be, you know, the odd man out, whether it's LaVine, whether it's DeRozan, whether it's Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. And they all got to kind of buy into that situation. Hell, to be honest with you, sometimes Keon's going to be the odd man out. And Keon, not saying that we've ever seen that it would be an issue, but Keon's going to have to buy into that.
Well, yeah, not under Doug.
Huh?
So we haven't seen it being an issue under Doug.
No. But it, like late in the game, what we saw at Portland, they end up losing.
Right.
But
that was the Keon should have been on the floor.
Right. Yeah. And at that time, though, Doug was like, this is what I feel is best. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we haven't seen anything where Keon would be anything other than a team player. But, you know, all these guys are going to have to realize in certain situations, maybe you get the shorter than the stick on certain nights. And, you know, it's all about winning, man. It's all about winning. And I think they've got the right group. I think they've got the right leader mm-hmm. to buy into that when you talk about Doug Christie.
I was going to ask, who are you talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Doug.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Doug Christie is he's the guy. There's leaders around there. DeMar's a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Malik's a leader. All this other stuff. But they're looking at Doug, and they trust Doug. And
that's a good word.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the most important words we've used to describe the relationship between the players and the head coach right now, is they trust DC.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why those situations that you just laid out a second ago, Zach, we got to let Keon go, or DeMar, like it was DeMar the other day. It was DeMar and Malik at different points in that game against New Orleans. They trust Doug, and that's that. If you go back and listen to some of Doug's earlier press conferences and media availabilities, he would talk about that. He'd say, "Yo, trust each other." I don't remember the exact lines if they went together like this, but it was be free and trust each other.
Yeah.
And I think Doug having that trust in his players that's been reciprocated. Mm-hmm. All right, he's put that trust in us. We're gonna put our trust in him.
Yeah, absolutely, and it can go a long way. And you know, one of the things, I know it's been hectic, and I know a lot has gone on, but last night put them at 13-7 since Doug Christie has taken over. You know, they've
give me that number again.
13-7 since Doug Christie has taken over. Actually, I take
sure?
that back.
I think it might 14-8.
It might be 14-8. I looked at that for a different looked at that time period for a different reason, and I know I forgot the Lakers game. So I think it is 14-8 actually. Okay. And it was probably the Mavs game that I forgot as well, because that was right before the first of the year. But still, six games over either way. 14-8. And it's a good look. It's a good look and something to build upon. They had a tumultuous week in the middle of that situation that might have cost them a game or two. And the thing for this team, I really think, is trying to get to that All-Star break, getting there on a positive note. I want to win both of these games against New Orleans. That may not be the case. Maybe it's one of two. You win one of two. But if they can find a way to win both of those games in New Orleans and go into the All-Star break on a four-game winning streak, three games above 500, man, I think it would do wonders for this team once they get out of the All-Star break.
14-8 is a 636 win percentage, a 52 win pace. I was looking at that last night, actually, and that 636 win percentage, that gets you to four. That's where the Lakers are. Now, they're too far behind, in my opinion, to get there looking at these standings. But that win percentage, I think if you win at something near that clip, that can get you to the six. Mm-hmm. We'll have a discussion about this later. I think the 4 and 5 are starting to look, they're starting to look off in the distance there. Yeah. With
I got my eye on 5.
The Rockets? Your beloved Rockets.
I do like the Rockets.
You do?
But they've...
You and Kamara.
They're off the gas. I mean, they've fallen, what, 3 spots?
There it is. I got you, big fella. I got you. They've fallen
3 spots in the standings in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
they've lost. That combines with the Nuggets and the Lakers playing well. But
and that's it. They've lost 6 of 10. The Nuggets have won 7 of 10. And then your Lakers.
Well, they've won, settle down.
They've won 9 of 10.
Damn.
Including Luka's little modest debut last night where they beat the hell out of the Jazz.
Beat the hell out of the Jazz.
It was talking about Luka Doncic's debut. I look up, there's Austin Reeves highlights. God.
Bro, they were treating that like it was game one of the finals yesterday. We had the lineups, the announcer introducing everyone.
Yeah.
I get it. Don't do it again.
Right.
Don't do it again, but I get it.
Well, you know.
Make a big deal out of a game, right? I mean, it is a big deal.
You know, they already have a lot of Laker games on national TV, but now's the time when they start flexing stuff. Sunday afternoon game. They're going to flex the hell out of the Lakers.
It's going to be an avalanche.
They're about to flex that. Every opportunity they get to, like, add a new game, they're adding the Lakers. Oh, this is going to be awful. If you were a Laker fan, would you ever even get league pass? Like, for what? Unless you like basketball.
If you're a Laker fan at a loss, no.
You're on every night.
No. Man, they really, they had Luka shirts, man. Good, the heist of the century. There needs to be, what are them things called? The Senate Congressional Committees? Launched into Rob Palenka and Nico Harrison.
Mavericks should lie and say AD failed his physical.
I believe him was already out a month.
I was going to say, there's got to be like some truth to that, right? Like, there's no way Anthony Davis passed a physical and Mark Williams didn't. I think Mark Williams got to LA and the Lakers was like, I don't know. I don't know about this.
Give AD the physical right now.
Man.
He fell right now.
That's funny. That's probably a thing that the teams, the deal is, you know, agreed upon, commence everybody passing physicals. Mm-hmm. Or the deal is agreed upon, we'll waive the right to a physical examination. Mm-hmm. Right?
Otherwise, how
do you trade for an injured player? I don't know. Someone call Nico Harrison and ask him.
I couldn't tell you. Real quick. I'm taking a quick look. Let's just stop right at March 26th. At March 26th, the Lakers play the Pacers on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 6 games. I would say... I'd say they have right now I'm looking at a total of 15 games. Only 6 of them are not on national TV.
Jesus.
And this isn't even the adjusted, let's throw NBA TV or Sunday afternoon. I would say this is probably like 15 to 17 games. Only six of them are not on national TV. What a crock.
Well, at least he made fun of Draymond Green.
Nah, that's your boy.
That's my man. I am a Luka fan now. He's just like us. He is just like us. Tell me about Zach LaVine. How do you feel about Zach LaVine's five-game run? One, two, three, four-game run.
Four-game run.
Orlando, Portland, New. What do you think about his four-game start here with Sacramento?
It's underwhelming, I guess you could say. But I also think that he's a guy that's not only trying to get used to a new team and new circumstances. He did have those couple weeks where he was off. And it feels like it's been a bit of a whirlwind for him for the last 3 weeks or so. And I think you'll see a more typical Zach LaVine in the near future.
Meaning?
Like, you'll be seeing him, you know, we'll get to the point where he's over the last 10 games, he's averaging 26 a night.
Okay.
Or something like that. The splits of, you know, shooting 51% or whatever from the field and 44%, I don't know if that's always going to be the case. I think even though he's been really good over the course of his career, if you look at his numbers, that's an outlier. Like, these are the best numbers he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
He's typically around 47% from the field, 37-38% from three, and I think that's where he'll end up. Maybe a little higher just because the numbers this year were so astronomical, but that's about who he is, which is really good. And, you know, I think he'll, especially after the break, he'll have, you know, these situations where he'll have a 10 game stretch where he's averaging 27 in those 10 games. I think he's just working his way into everything here in Sacramento.
Yeah. If he split the difference on his career numbers versus this year's numbers, they're great numbers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, just like you say, this year is really high, career is good. You just split the difference. You look at those are great numbers.
Yeah.
Over these four games with Sacramento, he's shooting 42% from the field. He is shooting a stunning 19% from three, 88% from the free throw line. My man is automatic right there, and 18.5 points per game. I think LaVine's performance is standing out because I was talking to a notorious Zach LaVine hater who would be with us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour last night. She was enjoying the hell out of the game. She's like, this is a lot of fun. Like, yeah, no, it's not. And I didn't, like, I it was, I think the Kings had just gone down 12, and maybe they had, maybe it was like at 6.
Well, what is she talking about? This is a lot of fun. They were down 12.
Well, the game had gone back and forth up until that point. Remember, they had gone on a run. The Kings went on their own little run to,
yeah.
You know, they were in the midst of cutting that lead back down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I was like, this is the first time under Doug that I don't know that I have confidence in this group. Mm. Like, I wasn't sure what I was watching. I felt like I was watching DeMar, you know, trying to just drag them. You know, he had played well the entire game. Malik hadn't had his moment yet. That came in overtime. I was like, man, DeMar, like, is just really trying to drag this group out there. I don't even know if Valanciunas and Domas have been on the floor yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, her reply, you know, Zach LaVine just shrinks in these moments. It's like, I know you don't like Zach LaVine, but I'm watching and it's like, well, he's there. What is he doing, though? Like, Zach LaVine's capable of doing what DeMar and Malik did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't seen it yet. And maybe it is getting acclimated. Maybe it is getting comfortable. Maybe it's the, I think it was 10, 11 days off. You know, that he had for the birth of his child, and probably there was some trade deadline stuff in there instigated by Chicago, and it all just kind of worked out for everybody involved. But I did watch him for the first time, like, come on, man. give me something. I need something from you here. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have it in the fourth. He didn't have it in overtime. Now, the flip side of that is he, you know, you argue he deferred. Mm-hmm. DeMar was, I don't want the ball out of DeMar's hands in the fourth quarter. Malik decided, I got it. You did your part. I played like the, you know, as Jordan said in airtime, I was the dog going into overtime.
Yeah.
Bobby Hansen hit the three. Malik Monk came in and said, let me go ahead and take over here. Malik comes out, and I think he scored the first 8 points for Sacramento in overtime. Mm-hmm. And so, there's a plus side to that. You're not a net negative player. You're out there doing other things. You mentioned the play running to Kyrie Irving there after the DeMar DeRozan shot goes in. It's not as if he's out there doing nothing. Mm-hmm. He's just not out there doing what we expected him to do. We looked at him, and maybe that's because we're not watching him close enough. We looked at him as this, you know, this guy who could go bar for bar with De'Aaron offensively. And we just haven't really seen that yet. And last night was a night that, you know, before it was clear this is DeMar's quarter, Zach have that moment. I kind of keep waiting for Zach to have that moment, and it hasn't happened yet. I'm not of the belief it won't happen, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just I was probably overly rooting for it last night.
I think Zach is really in a situation where he's just trying to figure everything out. Once again, I think there is something to him not wanting to step on anybody's toes here. Like, this is all their team. You know what I mean? This is Sabonis' team. This is Malik's team. This is DeMar has been here not that much longer, but he's been here longer and established himself. So if I'm him, I'm kind of looking at it where, you know, I'm going to get in where I can fit in real quick, and I'll ease my way into things. Mm-hmm. But right now, if I'm him, like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm going to get a feel for it. And like I said, if they, you know, I'm going to try my best to be me, but at the same time, I don't want to come in here and act like I'm just jacking up shots. Like, mm-hmm. It's a dance. It's a balance that he's trying to figure out right now. Last night in the fourth quarter, you touched on it. I thought he looked at it like, all right, D-Rose is popping. Mm-hmm. So let him cook. The big guys for the other half, like, let these guys cook. It was working. Malik, he's cooking. And, you know, if they kick out to me, you know, I'll be ready to shoot or ready to attack. But it didn't really happen too often. And I'm going to go out there and work on defense and do some other stuff. So I know that's not what he's necessarily here for, in my opinion. He's here to score and to get buckets. And he'll get to that. He'll get to that point for sure. I think he just really needs to get to the All-Star break and professionally and personally get his legs under him. And I think we'll see more of the Zach LaVine. Maybe we expected, maybe what you're looking for.
Okay. I said earlier, and, you know, regardless of me maybe not feeling great, like, about the team overall, I'm never like, oh, that win was ugly. It's not that. It's an overall, like, observation of the team. Mm-hmm. Not even, you know, back-to-back went, not feeling super great about what I'm seeing. However, you pull out two ugly wins in a row, I don't care what they could be DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk buzzer beaters against the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. It could be 88-89 or 190-189. I don't care. You walk away with four straight victories going into the All-Star break, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I am good. And that's truthfully what I need to see. I don't want them to split against the Babs. This is a 12-win basketball team they're going against. Go out there and get these two wins. Go into the break, you know, feeling good. The Warriors feel great for no other reason than they added a piece. They feel great. You can feel great, too, by grabbing a couple of victories.
Sometimes just getting the win is all you need to get you started. Remember, the Dallas win and the Philly win at the start of the 7-game winning streak were not pretty. They were down a lot to a decimate. Dallas didn't have nobody. It was no Luka, no Kyrie. It was even worse than last night.
They lost. Oh yeah. You talk about the other one. Yeah.
It was even worse than last night. And they were down X amount of points.
Mm-hmm.
Found a way to come back and win that one. Philly, Paul George was going to work on them the whole time. You know, it was a struggle. Found a way to come back. They got the wins. They weren't pretty. And that catapulted them to beating Memphis, beating Houston, beating these other teams. So just get these wins, and then we'll build on that is kind of my thought.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. We'll come back. Tristan Crick, the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Jason Jones in the final hour. We've talked about DeMar DeRozan's season high last night. I think DeMar deserves a little bit more love for what he's done during his time in Sacramento. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look around the league as well. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's Stilo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. If you're looking to sell your home, Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty, they are the professional realtors in the area. And the real estate bar has been raised. And clients today, they expect more net proceeds for their home. And KC, they want a faster sale.
Yeah, Michael and Patricia were selling their home in Rockland. And after interviewing,
I think I do too.
I don't know if I know Patricia, but I do know Mike. I do know Mike.
Okay.
But, you know, that's my guy.
Sometimes I dream.
After interviewing two other agents, they decided that Johnny Jennings was the right agent for them. Johnny was able to get them top dollar for their home and help them make a smooth move out of the state.
They sell your home for an average 3% higher purchase price than other realtors. They offer a listing warranty. If something happens to the home while listed, it gets fixed at no cost to you. They have a full staff dedicated to making your home selling process the easiest and most efficient it can be. Expect more, get more with Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty. California DRE number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. Shout out to our guy, Johnny Jennings.
Absolutely. Always. Always. Shout out to DeMar DeRozan, too. He got the number one play on NBA today.
Oh, did he?
For the game winner.
You mean they broke away from Luka coverage long enough to?
Barely. I mean, it was Luka and then Phoenix. And then, yeah, just, hey, number one play, by the way, DeMar DeRozan. But, you know.
Probably didn't even reference the Kings won that game.
That's better than nothing.
Look, DeMar DeRozan with a cute little shot here. Now back to Luka coverage.
You know, one thing that I was watching yesterday, I know I go on and on and wax poetically about this guy's game often, but this just, it was just another one of the moments. Kyrie Irving, when he took the lead in regulation, and the play was, they had somebody up there, maybe it was O-Max up there setting the screen. Domas was guarding O-Max. Keegan was guarding Kyrie Irving. And I was like, okay, yeah, you got the, all right, trap that, get the ball out of his hands. Just waiting for Kyrie to use the screen, just like everybody else, just like the defenders as well. And the footwork to spin away, go to the right, blow by Keegan, finish the layup. I wanted to be mad at Keegan. I did. I wanted to be mad. Hey, you got to be ready, like, trap. And then I just looked, and I said, that move was nasty. That was sick. Oh, this guy, man. He's a wizard.
Kyrie, and I don't want people to misunderstand our representation for Domantas Sabonis. Kyrie is a deserving all-star.
Yeah.
He is absolutely a deserving all-star. I think our guy should have gotten it. I think our guy deserved it as well. But Kyrie's he's an all-star.
Yeah. I really enjoy watching him play basketball. He does some amazing things.
Kyrie's one of the most unique players, I think, in league history.
Agreed.
And I think there are a lot of basketball players that will tell you he's one of the most skilled players in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's a joy to watch. Not necessarily when he's playing Sacramento, but overall, he is a joy. I'll never forget that stupid beam team year at the end when we're at wherever we are down there on like Fulton Avenue or whatever it is. Yeah. And it's a tanking Dallas team.
Mm.
And Kyrie hits just an absurd string of shots to ensure Dallas gets a win. I don't even think Luka played that day.
I think
it was just Kyrie.
And Luka did play. I remember
because
De'Aaron looked at him crazy one time.
Oh, well. Fair enough.
It's one. The only reason I really remember that is because it's one of De'Aaron's memes. Like the.
Was it the. Is it that one?
Yeah. And it was after Luka like flopped or something like that. One of the 40 times. But yeah, Kyrie.
I don't remember Luka at all in that game. All I remember is Kyrie.
Didn't Kyrie hit like some skyscraping
shot?
He
hit a shot that probably hit the top of the video board and just.
Didn't hit
right
anything but
nothing.
The net.
Nothing.
And that dude is crazy. Nasty. Like I said, I'm watching that game, and when that happens, I want to, no, you got to be ready for the, how can you be ready for that? How? Everybody in the world, I'm sitting there, I can't get mad at this guy, because I'm sitting there saying, all right, he's about to use the screen, trap, that's what's my mind, and in a split second, he reverse pivots, spins, goes to the right, and it's, shout out to Keon, who got the DPOG, because all you could do is just blindfold in a cigarette, make it difficult for him, and he did the best he could do last night, and it was good enough for a win.
DeMar DeRozan, we have talked quite a bit about him here today. The 42 points, the season high, the efficient night, the 15 in the fourth quarter. DeMar, by the way, DeMar takes what I, he just looks like he takes the most impossible shots. Like he, like for a large percentage of basketball players, the shots he'd take, you'd be like, ah, come on, man, what's that? But for DeMar, it's just routine.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it, when he gets in that mid-range, man, he's borderline unstoppable. Like, that's his bag. That's where he lives.
What our guy Mark Jones say, the maestro of the mid-range, because he's...
That's it.
He's adjusted so many different times, too, throughout the season. Remember when he started, he was kind of looking for fouls and leaning. Now he's kind of adjusted a little bit to just taking the shot. A couple times yesterday, got the double pump fake, trying to get the guy in the air. Then he'll step through. I mean, there's so many different variations to him getting shots up in that mid-range area. And now, and not just on the game-winning play, but in the fourth quarter, too, we saw, you know, him utilize the step through, you know, after coming to the stop. It's just this guy, he is, for me, he is as advertised. He might even be a little bit better than I thought he would be. I know a lot of people get frustrated with his style of play or what it does to the team. I think it's perceived what it does to the team. But this is who you...
What's the style of play being? Ball
little
dominant?
Slow down. Little, the ball may stop. It may stick to him a little bit. But I understand, like, the ball has energy type stuff. I get that. But sometimes, a lot of the times, the majority of the times, the mission is to put the ball in the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he does that at a high level.
I don't feel like there's a time in the game where that's not the mission, to be honest
with
you.
I know.
Maybe how the ball gets in the basket and whether that utilizes the other people on the floor, maybe that's the part that comes into question. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that's always the mission.
But this what we see from DeMar, this is why you brought him in.
Yeah.
This is what you were, like, the thought process of how we'd like for the game to go sometimes. We saw that at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason why Keegan Murray isn't able to take a step or gets pushed back to being a fourth option or whatever, it's because we saw it for the last 20 games last year, and we all decided they need something else just in case somebody else goes down. And even if they do go down, we saw the ball movement, the ball's got to move, all this other stuff, and they were shooting 53s a game, and they would lose games routinely at the end of the game. They couldn't hold on to leads because you can't live off of shooting 45 to 53s a night. You need a creator. You need a guy that can get to the basket, a guy that can get to the foul line, a guy that can, you know, get in the mid-range and go to work. And that's what you brought him in for. And he's been as advertised. And this is why I got caught up with that record earlier, because I was looking at DeMar since July 1st. Obviously, they had two games before that. That's why the record was a little off. But DeMar, since the first of the year, he's averaging 23.7 points per game.
There's your 13-7 you were researching.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where that came from for me. But shooting 49% from the field, 36% from beyond the arc, 87% from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is doing what he does. I'm not going to say it's up to others to step their game up or anything like that, but the way I would do it, I'm going to work around that. Malik Monk, if you know, you need to get yourself, we'll work around that.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray, if you're upset, and there's no sign that he is upset or anything, I'm just saying, yeah, you're worried, like, oh, you don't get shots. No, you work around that because it doesn't get any more efficient than that right now. So if you're not getting the shots that and the looks maybe in the half court that you want, run the floor a little bit more. Get some offensive rebounds. Figure out a different way. But I'm not giving that up for everything else because that's what I need. Domantas Sabonis, you figure out some stuff. Like, you get your shots up. But what DeMar is doing is what he does. And he's doing it at a high level right now. 23 and a half a night since the first of the year. 49, 36, 87 splits. Come on, man. I'm with that.
The desire that some Kings fans and maybe even some media had on placing the blame on DeMar DeRozan when things kind of went south here, actually they kind of started going south here, was a bit baffling to me. I get he was kind of the new guy. He was the new piece of the puzzle. But, you know, you can be frustrated about not, you know, addressing wings or not going to get, you know, Valanciunas during the off season or whatever, like the individual frustration was with people's opinions on that and the idea of moving him to the bench and, well, he's not good enough here. He's not good enough. Like he is showcased, I feel like, on multiple occasions, particularly maybe more so in the Doug Christie era of this Sacramento Kings team, exactly what he's capable of doing, exactly what you would want him to do on a night-to-night basis. There's no more glaring example than what we saw last night. You mentioned Keegan. I need to double-check this. I don't think Keegan took a shot in the first half, did he?
No, I think he didn't. He didn't take
a shot
at all.
First quarter, second quarter, yeah, he didn't take a single shot.
Right.
And then you had Malik. I'm not trying to pick on Keegan, but then you had Malik struggling. Like, you had a, you know, we're talking about Zach LaVine trying to find his place.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar carried this team offensively on his shoulders through, I mean, it was really highlighted in the fourth quarter, but we mentioned it, he had a great first half, too.
Yeah, he was cooking in that first half, and he was keeping above water. And if you have it, I think you probably have it a little easier than I do. How many shots did DeMar take in the first half?
First half, give me a second. DeMar,
I think it was like 14, maybe?
DeMar, no, sir. DeMar was... Wow. He was 5 of 5 in the second quarter. DeMar was 8 of 9.
8 of 9.
In the first half.
How many shots did the team take in the first half?
42.
All right, man. So DeMar DeRozan, the ball stopper, the guy that's keeping somebody from taking shots, takes 9 of the 42. And Keegan, you've got 0. That's not on DeMar DeRozan.
Keegan had 0. Yeah.
That's not on the offense. Keegan, like, that can't happen.
Domas had 6. LaVine had 11. Malik was 2 of 8 in the first half. And then the bench guys got a couple of shots up.
Yeah, that can't, guys coming off the bench are finding ways to get shots up. Like, I understand, like, you got to run some stuff. Assert yourself a little bit. Assert yourself. Find a way to get in the open court maybe and get a shot. You haven't been getting the ball in the offense or whatever. All right, let's go crash the boards real quick. Get offensive rebound.
Now, sorry.
I was just going to say, come on, zero's not – that's not DeMar's fault. That's not Doug Christie's fault for not calling a play. Like, everybody else is finding a way to get involved in offense. You can't have 0 shot attempts.
Well, someone must have said something to him because he was 5 of 9 in the third quarter and led the team with 11 points. So somebody must have noticed, like, hey, dog, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Fix it. And he goes out there and – leads the team in shots in the third quarter, and then, again, has 11.
I mean, it's the same old, right? Like, I remember the classic.
I can just imagine someone, yo, Keegan, come on. Okay. I got it. Cool.
The classic moment we always talk about when Mike Brown was about to pull him out for not taking a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Keegan takes the shot and allegedly says F you to Mike in a joking way.
Where was Legends then? That's the video I need.
That's what it's always been with Keegan. Whether DeMar's here, whether Doug's the coach, or Mike is the coach. Nobody's telling him not to shoot. Nobody's not giving him the ball at all so he can't shoot. He's just being passive. You see, when he decides, I'm not going to be passive no more, he takes 9 shots in a quarter. I don't believe they just started running every play for him in the third quarter. He turned it up a little bit. Yeah, man, come on, man. 0 shots and a lack of shot attempts, that's not on DeMar DeRozan per se. Or Zach LaVine or Fox or anybody else like that. He's got to be assertive.
De'Aaron Fox, the free throw merchant.
Fox is like, this is it's a whole new world. Getting to the line.
Boy, it's fun being on one of the league's favorite teams.
Look, I might leave the Kings too. If you could tell me I'm getting 18 free throws a night.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.